Felix. We're continuing. We've been in Matthew for a number of weeks. I think this is so 2 months, basically. This is our eighth week. We're in Matthew chapter 5, and our title today is The Inside Out Kingdom. The Inside Out Kingdom. We're in chapter 5. We usually ask a couple of people to read for us, so I'm going to invite up Nilvan and Shirley. They're going to introduce themselves. And they're going to... So we've got a couple here. Yeah. And they're going to read from Matthew. It's all yours.
Okay. Human face, huh? Yeah. So good morning, church. My morning. Name is Nilvan. That is my beautiful wife and the best part of me, Shirley. Just a little bit about us. We are from Brazil. So we met each other about 16 years ago. She's from southeast of Brazil, I'm from northeast, and we met each other in another state and called Holy Spirit. How great is that, huh?
Yeah.
So we have been like 13 years together, almost 13 years together. And in 2010, she was 19 years old, I was 22, and wow. We got married. Yeah, it's 8 years now. Woo! Since when I first came to Canada in 2016, I barely knew a few words in English, so it has been for me a big challenge, but I think I'm surviving. And 6 months later, Shirley came, and we started looking for a church. And as everyone does, you just Google it, right? Church in Toronto. So we did it. So here we are. So more than that, we believe that God brought us to that church. And even before we think about coming to Canada, He prepared everything to us. So we are so glad to be here, so grateful. Thank you for the warm welcome. Thank you, Peter, Bob, Nigel, Ian, Dal. And in special, thank you, Jennifer and Roy. They are for us like a parents, and we love them. And they pray for us, with us, and stay with us all the time. So that's really good. You know what? Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter your language skills. Come as you are. You're going to find a family here. We found it. And praise the Lord. Amen. Surely going to read some verses.
So it's Matthew chapter... Better.
Are you sure?
Better. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, the verses 17 through 32, some of them. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said for those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to judgment to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remembers that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. It also was said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except in the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Okay, so we come to this section. That's right. We've got a few minutes to share on this, maybe 30 minutes. Okay, we come to this part of Matthew. I don't know if this is your favorite part. Probably not. I know it's not my, it was not mine. I found this kind of difficult in the past many years. You know, this is the section, if you read on, we didn't read the whole thing. It says, you know, if somebody hits you on the right cheek, let him hit you on the left. Right? And it says, you know, in the past they said, love your neighbor, hate your enemies. Jesus says, I tell you, love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you, those kind of things. So, you know, it's not necessarily that easy, right? This kind of speaking. This is Jesus' lesson in discipleship. This is for Jesus, this is discipleship 101. Discipleship 101, the first course, beginning. It's the first block of teaching in Matthew by Jesus. So Jesus has gone out and called people to follow him, and some people, Andrew, Peter, James, John, some people and others have responded to follow him, join with Jesus. And after a little while, Jesus sits them down and begins to teach them. So this is a teaching for disciples. It's not, you know, some people read this and they want to, okay, yes, that's society should be that way. And let's form a society, a city, a country, and we should live and legislate these kind of principles. That's not what Jesus is doing. This is Jesus teaching to the disciples specifically. So it's not for people in general, was not for the crowd. It was for the disciples, those who were committed to follow Jesus. So if you're not yet a believer, you know, let's get the first things first. First, believe. The first step, believe. Second step, belong. Third step, behave. You get it? It's not behave first. I need to apply all these things. That will make me a child of God in God's family. No. First you believe and you respond to Jesus. Due to that, you belong to God's family. Here it talks about God being our Father. You believe in Jesus, receive him, you are in God's family. Then Jesus is telling us, those who are members of his family, in his community, he's telling us in his kingdom, how should we live? Now you're a Christian, how should we live as Christians today? Okay, I like to give you a little analogy. Most of us, you grew up in this kind of society. Here we drive on the right, right-hand side, right, don't we? I hope so. And most countries of the world drive on the right. There are a few exceptions, odd countries that drive on the left. Australia's one. The UK, where I'm from, is another, right? And Southern Africa, Malaysia, a few other countries. You drive on the left. Now think about this, because this happened to me. I came to North America as a student. I learned to drive here. I got my license in North America. Then I was driving for about 7 years. Then I went back to the UK and drove. My wife would always say, you drive. You're from here. Think about this. This is dangerous. You can get on an airplane tonight. Go to Pearson Airport. Get on an airplane tonight, 10, 11 p.m. Fly through the night. Arrive in London, Heathrow, Gatwick. Arrive in London. You've had about 2 or 3 hours sleep. It's a short night. You arrive in London, Gatwick, or Heathrow at 6 a.m. local time, and you've rented a car. You go to the rental place, and they say, yeah, we have your book. Go to section C, take any car. The key's in there. They let you loose. You know, you got a license, you got a Canadian license, okay. You walk out of the airport, you've had 2 or 3 hours sleep, it's, you know, within an hour of arriving, you go to section C and you pick some car, the keys are in there, and you drive out. Be careful. And first you've got to figure out the steering wheel's on the right. Go to the right door. The steering wheel's on the right, and everything's backwards. Right? And you drive out onto the highway. They're letting you loose. I don't know how many accidents. Be careful if you ever go there. How many accidents are due to letting foreigners loose? You know, and it's not easy because the roads are narrow. And then in the UK, they have these, what they call roundabouts. They have these traffic circles. A lot of it, instead of just a traffic light, they have these circles, traffic circles. And if you're in North America or someplace else, our tendency is if you go at a traffic circle, we would tend to go around counterclockwise. Don't do that. In the UK, you got to go around clockwise. And then you got to figure out where to get out. And our tendency is if there's no traffic, I found this. My goodness, I go through some circle, traffic circle. I got to consciously focus. Which way round do I go? Okay, so I go around clockwise, right? And then, okay, my tendency is when I get off, go to the right. You're wrong. Right? And I found myself driving on the wrong side and quickly. And plus, you know, we drove in the countryside. There's these narrow streets, very narrow, no sidewalk, there's walls. You're driving along through the countryside, up and down, round, and then you meet a car and the road is narrow. It's not easy to pass. You're driving along, you meet a car going the other way. Our tendency is to steer to the right, right? If you're heading towards somebody, steer right. You're wrong. They're going to steer to the right. If they're local, so are you. Boom. So, okay, some advice. When you drive in England, be very careful. Or any of those other countries. You have to consciously make an effort intentionally to do it right, drive according to the rules and regulations in that country, the United Kingdom. You're in another kingdom. Yes, you may well know how things operate here. You've done it for years. That makes it harder. Now, you've got to learn how to operate in a different kingdom according to the way things work. Okay, Jesus came and he brought the kingdom of God. His message is the kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God is here and you can enter this kingdom where God reigns. Different kingdom. And now, you know, Jesus here, what we read, Jesus is explaining how do things work in this kingdom? In this kingdom. And they don't work the same way as the old. You drive in the UK, it's that way. Drive here, it's another way. Different kingdom, different way things operate. That's kind of what's going on here. So, okay, so we have a little bit, we can go through some of these things. So firstly, and Jesus is talking to people who were from a Jewish background and they were born, read, raised in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and all the rest. And that they had a certain way of living and they had teachers helping people to live that way. Now they have met Jesus. And Jesus has brought the kingdom to them. And there's a new way to live. And he's helping them how to do that. So Jesus says this, we read that. Do not think, this was verse 17, a key verse. key verse connecting what's the relationship between the first part of the Bible, Old Testament, and the last part, the New Testament. Jesus says, do not think that I've come to abolish the law and the prophets, the two main sections of the Old Testament. The law, Genesis, the first five books, especially focused on Exodus, Ten Commandments, and the others. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, all those prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jesus says, don't think. Don't think. Why did Jesus say that? Because some already must have had the idea, oh, things have changed. That old stuff doesn't apply. Put that aside. Jesus says, no, it's not that simple. Don't think that I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I've not come to abolish, to nullify, to negate. I have come to fulfill them. Fulfill the law, fulfill the prophets. Okay, that's a key verse. And this is an issue, and you can see if you look around and you're familiar with Christian, the wider Christian community, different groups of Christians have different view on how do we as New Testament believers, followers of Jesus, relate to the Old Testament. Some feel that a lot of things apply. A lot of the things you see in the Old Testament apply. It's a straight linear progression from the old to the new. We add some stuff, keep the old. So, some Christians will say the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments, which it is. Jesus said, keep the Sabbath, that's Saturday, keep it holy. That's one of the Ten Commandments. So, they feel that applies directly, carries over for us. Therefore, they meet on Saturday. That's the Seventh-day Adventists meet on Saturday, right? Some others would say, in the Old Testament, you're supposed to give, contribute one-tenth, 10% to God, 10% of your crop, 10% of your herd, 10% of this. So we apply that directly, and Christians are encouraged not just to give, they are told to give 10%. And there's some churches where when you file your tax, since we're approaching that season, you file your tax not with just with Canada Revenue, you file your tax with the church. They want to make sure you're giving 10%. Yikes. Is that what we're doing? Well, let me, you know, if you're getting nervous, we don't do that in this church. Right, Steve? Correct. Okay, thank you. All right, so don't get nervous. Why? Okay, the good question to ask, why don't we do that? Why don't we do that? Because this verse is key. Jesus said, yes, I didn't come to abolish those things, but neither did he say I came to maintain those things unchanged. No, Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Is there continuity? Yes, there is. Is there change? Yes, there is. Both. So not everything from the Old Testament applies, carries over. You say, what applies? Jesus gives six areas in chapter 5. We just read the first three. Jesus gives six examples of areas. This is what they said of old. That's Old Testament, Exodus, Deuteronomy, those books. But I say to you this. The ancients were told that, but I tell you this. And you can see here, Jesus is giving an authoritative word. You say, why do we as Christians hold the New Testament as equally God's word as the Old Testament? Answer, Jesus here in what we read today, Jesus equates his teaching on the same level, same authority, in fact, more authority than the writings in the Old Testament. Jesus said, you have heard by the ancients, do not murder. That's in the Ten Commandments. But I say to you, that equates Jesus' word with the same equality, with the same authority as Moses' word, God's word through Moses in the Old Testament. So this is this shows us, you know, so yes, you know, when we come to the Old Testament, we need to view it and read it and realize, ask ourselves, okay, we read it in the light of Jesus, in the light of Jesus coming and how Jesus interpreted those things to us. So, okay, and what is the key, what is the key principle here? One is this, the Old Testament talked about regulated outward actions. Don't murder, that's an action. Don't commit adultery. Don't have sexual relationships outside of marriage with somebody who's not your wife. That's adult, don't do that, right? Jesus addressed these things. Don't take oaths, things like this. That was the Old Testament. It regulates outward action. Jesus' teaching goes beyond that. It's not just outward action. He talks about our attitude. He talks about our heart inside. So here's a little quote that gets to that. Okay, I think the central claim of the Sermon on the Mount, that's where we are, Matthew 5. The central claim is that Jesus did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to reveal their true intention and meaning. What's the true intention, the true meaning? What are those things getting at? They're not just getting at outward action, they're getting at what's behind it. So we have one more quote, right? Jesus calls his followers to a higher righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, the Jewish authorities. It is a matter not only of outward actions, not just outward actions, but of inner dispositions and motivations. Jesus is getting at the heart. What's behind it? The law says, don't murder. Jesus said, I say to you, don't be angry. Don't be angry. Don't let anger develop in your heart. Why? Because many times, anger is the beginning of a spiral, a downward spiral. You're offended, you're bothered, you're frustrated with people, okay? You're angry, right? And if you let that anger grow, develop, nurture it, it will result in an action. What's the action? The ultimate action could be murder. So Jesus says, don't just deal with the action. You got to deal with the root where it came from. That's anger. Adultery. The Old Testament says don't commit adultery. Jesus says don't look with lust. Why? Adultery doesn't just happen. It's the end of a process. Don't let the process begin. Right? Deal with the thing that starts off. The look, the second look, the fantasy, right? Where your imagination's going, where your intention's going. Deal with those things, right? Then you won't get there. Jesus is going to, right? Jesus is getting at our core, our heart. Amen? Amen. You say, is that easier or harder? Right? I think, well, you know, most of us are okay if you talk about action. Did you murder anyone this week? Please raise your hand. No, we know murderers. Did you commit adultery? Doubt, right? Did you divorce your wife this week? No. Those are all outward actions. Jesus gets at the heart, what's behind it, right? So it's deeper. Yes, it's more, but what that is the source. Jesus later in Matthew says, from the heart, out of the heart come murder, adultery, lying, stealing, all those negative things start in man's heart. The human race has a heart problem. Yes, there's actions that need to be dealt with, but the core of those, a source of those actions is the heart. It's in people's heart. We need something, we need to deal with the heart. But Jesus is not just saying, okay, so you do it. You take care of it. Change your heart. That's like asking a leopard to change its spots, asking a zebra to change its stripes, right? No, Jesus, praise the Lord. Jesus has come. And Jesus said, not only I came to fulfill the law, I came to fulfill the prophets. And what's one of the great prophets in the Old Testament is Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31 says, you know, God says, I'm going to make a new covenant. Why? Because the old covenant with Moses didn't work. So I'm good. Days are coming, says the Lord, Jeremiah 31, when I will make a new covenant with Israel, with Judah, not like the old covenant, which they broke. What's the new covenant? I will put my spirit in them. I will give them a new heart. I will give them a new spirit. I will put my spirit in them. I will write things in their heart. Right? These kind of promises. Jeremiah promised a new covenant. Jeremiah promised God would do something with people's heart. Amen? Amen? What do we need? What does humanity need? We need a new heart. Amen? So Jesus came, right? And yes, he fulfilled the law. Personally, he fulfilled the law. He died on the cross for our sins. He resurrected, and he talked about the Spirit. The Spirit would come, and when we believe, receive Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God comes into our spirit, enlivens us, and renews our spirit. Amen? We get a new heart, we get a new spirit, and God begins to transform us from the inside out. Amen? I think we have a quote. I had a number of quotes. Most of them say this. Okay, Jesus shows God doesn't just care. He does care. God doesn't just care for outward moral behavior. God cares most about the transformation of a person's heart. God cares about the transformation of our heart. That's what the new covenant is about. And when does that begin? For that, Jesus got to go to the cross. He went there. He died. He resurrected. He sent the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? To be in us, to change us. Right? So I think, yeah, this is, right? Transform a person's heart. Jesus' righteousness becomes an inside out. That's why the kingdom is an inside out kingdom of God working in our heart. In your heart, your motives, your intentions, your feelings, your emotions, your decisions, God working in our heart from the inside out. With the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, God's law will be implanted within hearts, within your heart, within my heart. We have Jesus living in us, to change our heart. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Right? Jesus could say these things in Matthew 5. Why? He knew, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to bring in the new covenant. I'm going to give people the Holy Spirit. I'm going to change hearts. Right? I'm the real physician. I'm a heart surgeon. I'm going to change people from the inside out. Amen. And equip them, enable them to live this way, the way we've had described. Praise the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, you know, as we read these chapters, and I hope we would, you know, it's not bad to read every day, read the chapter, chapter 5, chapter 6. This is to help us realize, you know, Lord, I need you. I need you to work on my heart. I need you, you know, to make me this kind of person in your kingdom. That's enabled by the new covenant Jesus brought in by his death, for forgiveness of sins, by his resurrection to give us his life. Okay, so at this point, we're right on time. We're just in time to have the Lord's table. Praise the Lord. What is the Lord's table? It is a commemoration of Jesus' death to take care. He's the sacrifice. He fulfills all those Old Testament sacrifices, right, with his death and his resurrection. Gives us his eternal life, makes us children of God, right? So we can live in his new kingdom. So I'm going to pray, and then the bread and wine is going to come by. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, right, please feel free, if you would like to, participate. If you're not yet familiar, you're just investigating, You might want to leave that, and when you have more understanding, we can go with that. Let me just pray, and I'm going to pray and thank the Lord for the table, and then it's going to come by as we sing. Lord, we thank you. Lord, you are the King. You brought in the kingdom of God. You enabled us to become children of God, to be born of you with your life, to have your Holy Spirit in us. Lord, to begin this process of living in your kingdom. Lord, we thank you for your death, for the blood shed. We remember that. Lord, we need it. We still need day by day your cleansing and your forgiveness. Lord, we thank you. Your life and your spirit was made available so we could be in Christ and be a new creation and live a new way. Lord, as we take the bread, take the cup, Lord, we tell you, Lord, we want to be enabled by you to live in your kingdom as your kingdom people on this earth today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. Thank you. The worship team will lead us.
Lord, we remember you because you were a great teacher, but you were much more than that. You came to save us, but there was much more. You came to build your kingdom. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You know who God wants us, who God wants to be part of this kingdom? Me. Oh, and you. Everybody. Everybody. And that's just great. That's what we're celebrating every Sunday. And if you want to know more about this inside out, strange, weird kingdom, just come back next week and the week after. Come back every Sunday. Before we go out and enjoy the green, the blue sky, I want to bring up one more thing, right? Don't forget about the Connect team. If you want to get connected, find one of these people, like me, or somebody else, or anybody else in this room. There's a lot of nice people, actually, not only the ones with the lanyard, right? Another thing concerning tax receipts. I know it's a little abrupt now, right? But it's the season. Nigel was kind of like already mentioning it. So because we have different ways to give, there's different ways to receive your tax receipt. And we will have this slide on for like the next few minutes. So there's explanation of how you get your tax receipt depending on how you gave your donation. If you have beyond that any kinds of questions, please just write down the email at the very bottom. Write an email, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get my receipt. Please explain to me. You'll get an answer. So if you don't understand or if it's all too much, just write down this email and ask a question. That's basically it. Thank you all for coming. It's been wonderful to have you. Hope to see you next week. Enjoy the blue sky. Amen, and see you.